To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Our man Jake Gaten back with us live from the CBS 13 studios. He made it back. And for those that were, I think we did follow up on this. Jake's with us every Wednesday. Jake was not home on Thursday. You finally got home. Was it Friday night on that 7 a.m. Newark flight or 7 p.m. Newark flight?
No, I got back Thursday night.
The 7 p.m.
It was really Friday morning by the time I got home.
Okay.
I took the late night flight. The Newark flight that was direct to SMF was booked, so I had to go through Denver and then Denver here. So I took the late flight out of Denver back to Sacramento. That was a mess from like going live inside of a retirement community, all right, yeah, where the Wi-Fi was just as old as the people living there to, you know, just getting back on four different flights. It was a mess, as they would say.
That connection was so bad, I'm convinced that Jake somehow plugged his phone in with an Ethernet cable to try to talk to us. And salute to you for like, hey, I know I'm at a retirement home with my grandpa, and we're going to go have a 4:55 dinner, but I got to talk to my guys dealing with KC before we go get the senior special steak here at the retirement facility.
No, guys, it wasn't even that, though. It was the blended shake that they have because they can't have solid foods, right? Like, you really think they have solid foods at retirement communities? It's mashed potatoes. It's like broccoli that's really not broccoli. And then they give out like a little portion size of whatever meat they're having that's just blended because they can't have a steak.
Yeah, that's fair.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, fair
guys,
enough.
I will say this though: they do serve wine at these things.
I bet
half
they do.
The wine gets these people going. All right, so
Bingo turned up that night at 6 o'clock.
Straight up. All right, it's gonna get frisky in the retirement community.
That's the new club, man. That's happy hour is 2 p.m.
Yeah. Facts. Facts. Well, we're happy you made it back. We got a chance to talk a little bit on Sunday night, and I don't even know. I don't think the Kings have played since then, have they?
No,
they haven't.
Oh, they played Monday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They did. That's right. They played the Pacers. And they lost.
Yeah.
They lost to the Pacers. What are you looking for the rest of this year? Like, what when you watch? Scratch that from the record. What are you looking for when you watch the Sacramento Kings play this season?
Looking Keegan Murray development, that's like number one. I think our good friend Matt George put something out there a couple days ago, which I fully agree with. Like, I think Keegan needs to take more shots, but I don't think that's going to be able to happen until you trade some of these guys. So that's one. I'm looking at Maxime Reynaud and seeing if his development can continue to move forward. I've loved what I've seen from the big man the past couple of days, just because of what he's been able to do down low. He doesn't look like he's being outworked down there, doesn't look like a rookie sometimes, because you know, if he can get a bigger frame this offseason and work on his body, like, man, he can definitely be a force in this league. And then, can I be real with you? Like, I just want to see Zach LaVine gone. Like, he's a hostage, fam. He's just a hostage. And like, 42-point performance on Saturday, which we're all gung-ho and happy about, to another like 16-point performance where it's just, where are you on Tuesday against the Pacers? And it's interesting. It's like each game they play, like, okay, who's gonna shoot this game? Okay, is it DeMar? Is it Zach? Is it Keegan? Like, is it Russ? Like, I'm frustrated because I don't think they have any semblance of an offense. They're not good at anything. And the prospects that they have on the team that I want them to see them improve, like Max, a Keon, a Keegan, are not getting the opportunities they get. Like, heck, you have to send Devin Carter down to Stockton for him to get some run. Like, and he looked good last night for the Stockton Kings. Same thing with Nick Clifford.
It's because he's in the G League. Yeah. I just want to remind everybody he's in the G League.
MVP of the G League.
You're not wrong. It's just I would like to see him get my issue is with Devin Carter is I don't want to have a Davion Mitchell 2.0 situation. Now, could it not be that and it's not the same yin for yang? Yeah, you're probably right. But I want to make sure there's no buyer's remorse for any, with any of that.
Real quick. We told you Michigan's head coach Ron Moore was fired right before the break. Did you see their statement?
I did not, but I've seen some people talking in the chat.
He was fired with cause because he had he got into a relationship with a staff member.
You big dummy.
Men are idiots.
You big dummy.
You're the coach of one. All right, man.
I told you
something was wrong with your boy a long time ago. I told you.
I was gonna say something. Maybe I'll wait till the break.
I promise. Right, yeah, wait till the break because I got something to say too. that was not a part of Schefter's original tweet, but yeah, this dude.
I'll wait till the break.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! What a disaster!
Here comes Brian Kelly.
Oh.
My family,
you know what?
Eh?
As someone who roots for Ohio State, I hope that happens.
Oh no, we'll beat
go
Ryan,
get Brian
Ryan Kelly will beat Ohio State.
Okay.
He'll beat Ohio State. He'll beat Ryan Day. Okay. With his nipples pierced. Wow. We'll beat him.
Wait, Brian Kelly's nipples will be pierced?
No, Ryan Day.
Ryan Day's nipples. Well, they are pierced.
That's what I'm saying.
Unfortunately. And it's really sad that we know that. I think Ryan Day should be fired with cause because America knows his nipples are pierced.
What are we talking about? College sports is great. Oh man. So Devin Carter, first and foremost, Davion Mitchell's way better. He's a way better player. So I'm not tripping off if they move on from him without him playing a lot of time in the NBA. Cause I don't at the very least, I don't think he's going to be as good as Davion Mitchell. So there's that. Other thing I want to ask, when will we, outside of me and D'Lo, stop giving Keegan these passes and, like, looking at other people as to the reason why he doesn't shoot enough or he's not accurate or anything else like that? It's not Zach LaVine's fault he went 3 of 11.
You're not wrong. He's got to hit his shots. Like, Keegan has to hit his shots. When he gets these opportunities, when he's the main offensive focal point, because let's be real, guys, he's not the main option right now. Like, tell me, when you're watching these games, are you really sitting there saying that Keegan Murray's the main option coming down the floor?
No. Do I want him to be? He's 3 of 11 damn near every other game. Do I want him to be the main option?
Yeah, but let him be the main option where the offense runs through him, where the ball's in his hands. You're not seeing that in his offense. The 3 for 11 is coming from the shots that are in the corner that, you know, yes, I would give you this, Casey. Majority of them are wide open that he has to knock down. But what I'm getting at is when Keegan actually has offensive schemes made for him, where it's schemed to where it fits his game best. And then you see what you got there. That's what I'm getting at with Keegan Murray. Because right now, the shots he's taken are not schemed for him. They're schemed for DeMar. Well, there is no offense.
And that's Doug's fault. If that's the case, that's Doug's fault.
No, it's Mike Miller's fault. Let's be real here.
Look, Mike Miller, Mike Brown, Jay Triano, they're all doing the same thing. At some point, when is it on the player?
When he's putting up 15 to 20 shots a game and he's still going 3 for 15 or 3 for 20 or 4 for 15, 4 for 20, then you could put it on Keegan and say, okay, then Keegan, this is where you're at. But you don't know. You don't know until he's taking 15 to 20 shots a game.
And look, for the record, once again, I do like Keegan. I think that he showed me earlier when he came back, he showed me some improvement, some growth in his game, and, you know, skill set wise, he showed me some things. But that's what I always come back to. Nobody's telling him not to shoot, not to be aggressive. Nobody's telling him that. Like, the hey, we want to see Keegan be more aggressive. That's on him. That's on him. Because even then, Zach is only taking, like, Zach and even DeRozan to this point, because DeRozan kind of got it on cruise control. They're taking, like, 11 or 12 shots. It's not like they're taking 20 apiece.
I still think once one of those two gets shipped off, more DeMar than anything, I think it will, you will have a better runway for Keegan to be able to do what we're looking for him to do. I'm just saying there's more shots will be available, at least 3 to 4 more shots a game that will be more available to see if he can get it going. I'm just saying, that's my personal opinion.
I think you're wrong. And okay. we'll just find out. I mean, 11, 11, 11, 12, 18, 16, 19, 14, 13. That's working backwards from the Indiana game to the first game he returned. Those are his shot attempts. You said you want him to shoot 15 plus times per game. He has done that, what I say, three times since he's done that three times in his 9 games. That's just this year. Who knows what it looks like if we go back to last year? If only there was a way I could do that. he's not aggressive enough. And if it is the scheme's fault, then it's Doug's fault. Man, is that right? Oh, my gosh. The most shots, the answer to the question by is 8. He shot the ball 15 or more times 8 times last year. Mm. 8 times. Anybody want to take a guess? The most field goal attempts that Keegan Murray took last year?
22.
Casey went 18. Jake went 22. Casey gets the point.
Yes, sir. Count
he
it.
Took 17 twice.
Count it. Count
he was
it.
8 of 17 and 9 of 17, once in a loss to Minnesota, once in a win against Toronto. I don't know, man. He just doesn't seem like that guy who's going to be aggressive offensively.
And real quick, Jake, to Damian's point, I don't care if Keegan takes shots. Take them all. Like,
yeah.
I want you to. I'm just telling you he's not going to, and it's nobody else's fault but his own half the time.
Well, then we'll hold the player accountable then. And let's get there first, right? Let's get there to the point where, because this is all hypothetical right now, like, let's get to the point where he has the ability and there's no excuse why he's not doing it. And if later in the season and we've shipped off of all these guys and he still is not taking 15 to 20 shots a game, then it's on the player. But he said this offseason that he's worked on being more aggressive. And you saw that the first, three or four games mm-hmm. when he first came back.
I like that.
I'm like, again, when the roster is opened up and they start trading away some of these guys, which we're all preparing for in the next couple of weeks, then I'll have a better then his opportunities will be better. I just personally think that. And then we'll have a better idea of what we're looking at. Like, I can guarantee you this, by the end of the season, we will know exactly the player that we have in Keegan Murray. Exactly.
Mm.
You don't think so?
Okay. There's so much here. First, it's all DeMar's fault. It's all Zach's fault. Let's go back to his rookie year. What's the most shots that he took in his rookie year? Cooking.
The Jazz game.
What's the number?
22.
His rookie year. Jake, you want in on this? It's 20. 17. The number is 17. Let's go to the next year. There's your Utah game. That's the second season.
My fault, my fault.
He cracked the 20. 23, 21, 20, 19. He shot over 15 times, 22 different times his second year. And just for fun, the most amount of times he shot last year, 17.
And to Jake's point and the others' point, that I think, would you say 18 times or 22 times he shot over 15 that second year?
That second year, yeah.
I would venture to say 12 of them happened when Malik Monk went out and it was just Fox and Murray, and he was aggressive. I think in that time he averaged about 18 points per game. And was getting the shots up, and he was fine. Like, I didn't think he was the problem or anything at all. But it was clear at that time that you need another score.
I don't know, but there's some validity to that because a lot of these are in chunks.
Yeah,
April 2nd, April 7th.
What was Malik out for, about 5 weeks at the end of the season?
Was it that long?
Maybe less than that.
I don't think it was that long.
Maybe less than that.
So he was out at the end of the first year they had the play-in. He was out for that game.
He got hurt the second match.
The year after that, he was out for the last month. So last year, he was out for the last month of the season.
Yeah.
He got hurt the second Mavs game they played towards the end of the season. They had a back-to-back home type thing. Well, a couple days in between, but he got hurt the second time. It was probably a sample size of about 12 to 15 games where Keegan had to be aggressive. He was aggressive, and he produced, like I said, to the point of like 18 points per game. I guess maybe to Jake's point, he's got to be the one or two option to do something like that. They still saw that and were like, we need more scoring.
Yeah.
So
I have a question for you guys, though, because I've been wanting to talk about this on Sports Sunday with you guys, but we haven't had time yet. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk, like, don't you feel like he fits the mold of what they're looking for here in Sacramento in terms of tenacious, toughness, whatever it may be, professionalism? Or do you think that his game is so erratic that you can't put him in what they're looking for here?
I don't understand why they're so eager to move Malik Monk.
Okay.
I don't know ball. Everybody knows that. I just don't get it.
I agree. I agree. I think he does. He is erratic. But I think you can have a guy like Malik Monk on your squad if he's one or one of two guys kind of feast or famine.
It's not building around. It's like, no, you have a guy here. Like, you need players like
right,
that.
Being a part of.
Also, he stinks right now. He is not playing well the last, what are we at, three games? Like, I'll go so far. He's playing really bad. He had one, it must have been four games ago because I think the number's at three. It wasn't the Rockets game is the third. No, it was the Rockets. It's two. It was the Rockets game. He was terrible versus the Pacers and terrible versus the Heat.
Mm-hmm. They didn't need him against the Heat, though. That's the thing. At all.
No. But But to answer your question, like, mm-hmm. I'd love to have Malik Monk around and be a part of what. And he does seem to fit the bill, regardless of what the six principles necessarily are. I feel like I would want Malik around if I'm trying to start something from scratch. That's what I would think. But like I said, me and Damian, and it seems like you as well, Jake, we seem to be in the minority, at least when it comes to comparing ourselves to what the Kings front office might think.
That's my big question. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. I'm intrigued because I think Malik, yes, he's a microwave on the court, but I think he's a perfect 7 or 8 option off your bench that you have a solid contract with him right now. I wouldn't be so bad with him.
He's a microwave that doesn't always heat your food thoroughly, though.
Yeah,
like when it works, well, you feel great.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, man, mom, microwave is acting up again. The dinner's still frozen.
and I'll ask you this, Jake. Once again, I'm just giving the other side of it all. Would you want to pay him $17 million a year? And I think that's more so. Like, I think if you ask Scott Perry, he'd be like, yeah, at a different price, Malik could stay here for as long as we can have him. If it was like $8, $10, $11 million a year. At 17, I think that's more so why Scott may have some apprehension to continuing to have him on his roster.
I agree. It's also an easier tradable contract on this roster, and that's why they're probably looking to move him. But I think in terms of the player itself, if you take away the contract, it's exactly who you want on this roster.
I agree. I'd pay him with that contract. I'd keep him with that contract.
Can we shift gears?
We
got Jake for a few more minutes. I'm going to present two scenarios for you. I'd like for you to respond to both. What if the Patriots beat the Bills this weekend? What's that say?
Well, first off, it says they're AFC East champs. And I also say that they're Super Bowl contenders.
Okay.
Because you've knocked off the Bills not once, but twice this season.
Mm-hmm.
One on the road, one at home. It's probably going to – I don't know. It secures you the AFC East. Don't know if it's going to secure you the bye. I think it might, though, because if you look at Denver's schedule the last few games of the season, it's a much harder schedule than what New England has. I believe New England has the Baltimore Ravens the week afterwards, and that's two cupcake games against the Jets and the Dolphins, if I'm correct, compared to Denver, I believe, has Kansas City on their thing, the Colts as well.
Denver plays the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a tougher schedule. So I think it not only says that, I also think of catapults Drake May into the number one position for MVP. And if it's not that, Mike Vrabel's winning coach of the year.
I kind of feel like that.
Yeah, you got that locked up.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's happening.
Super Bowl contender. What I like about it is it's either going to put the Patriots in the one or two seed. One seed, you get the bye. Two seed, yes, a Texans team is most likely going to be coming in here and having to play the Patriots in New England. Not worried about that. Really not. Offensively, I don't think Texans are that great. Defensively, they're incredible. Incredible. But offensively, CJ Stroud's not there. And I think it's going to put him on a trajectory of having some serious conversations about them reopening another possible dynasty in New England. I think it's the honest truth. And I'm just intrigued. Did you guys know that Buffalo is favored in that game in New England this weekend?
I didn't know they were favored. Your Stan hat is on pretty tough right now. So let's flip it. Let's flip it because that was the other side. What if the Bills beat the Patriots this weekend?
I think it's also a great thing for New England because it's going to reset you and make you refocus of realizing that you guys had an incredible streak, 10 wins in a row, but anything is possible in the NFL. And for me, as a fan, I want to see them win. Me as a journalist and as a NFL savant who's watched games throughout my whole entire life, my whole entire career, I do like a late season loss. And the reason for it is it resets the team and it resets the focus, especially coming off the bye week this past week. If they're feeling themselves, they could overlook the Bills and it could be a different conversation. Do I think they're overlooking them? No, I think they want the division, but don't be surprised if they lose to the Ravens the week after on Sunday Night Football. Mm. I like a late loss, not a week 18 or week 17 loss, but a week 15, 16 loss. Solid reset to then send you into the postseason with a couple wins and feeling good about yourself.
I'm also surprised that they're the underdog coming off the bye like that at home. That's crazy to see. I'll answer the questions a little bit. With the win, doesn't really change how I feel about the Patriots. I think they're a good team. Mm-hmm. I still think
Does it influence how you feel about the Bills?
No.
I don't think you like the Bills a lot.
I'm not crazy about them. They can go on a run. They got Josh Allen, so things can happen. But I'm not as confident in the Bills as others are just because Josh Allen's under center. Mm-hmm. If the Patriots lose.
They could go on a run. They could also miss the playoffs.
Yeah. If the Patriots lose, what it says to me is, they're not ready for that big boy football. Mm-hmm. They played some sorry teams for the past 8 to 9 weeks, and they've handled business. They don't control the schedule. They've handled business the way you would want them to. But when it gets to them playoff teams, I don't know if they're ready. And that wouldn't even be the worst thing in the world. I feel like the Patriots are a year early, to be honest with you. Indictment on the program itself. They kind of like the Bears, too. They're a year early. They're going to add some pieces as time goes along, but they may not be ready right now.
But what my worry about is, though, is I don't want them to be the Commanders of this year. Where it's the Commanders were a year early last year, true, and then they added all these pieces and it really didn't work out this year. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL, and they're just that defense has not been great.
They added names. I told people, and this is my boy, and it hurt me. I told them we sold him a lemon when they got Debo. I said, no, he's not him no more. And they just went out and got a bunch of names. And yeah, I didn't think the Commanders are going to be pretty good. I think Vrabel won't let that happen in New England.
Agreed. And I think they're going to do it through the draft too, which I think I like. I like being able to build the draft and then you plug and play with the free agency and go from there. Hey guys, before I go, real quick, I got some updates for you, if you don't mind.
Not
for,
at all.
For Sac State.
Yes, all right. Go ahead.
Just a heads up to the viewership, right? That Sac State is going to most likely name a head coach in the next week, if not the end of this week, starting next week. Two names that I have confirmed that have thrown their name into the hat: Troy Taylor, former Sac State head coach; Chris Richardson, current offensive line coach, has been there forever. Both two names have thrown their names in there. There's a couple other names that were surprising that I can't officially report because I haven't gotten confirmed. Just the only things that I've heard. But I'm thinking next week that something's going to happen. I'm also hearing that Mark Orr, the athletic director, is running the search this time. It's truly Mark. I know Dr. Luke Wood had some creative ideas last time, especially with hiring Brendan Marion. And I think now Mark is charting the course this time of who they're going to bring in, because I think the one thing that I may be frustrated with Dr. Luke Wood with this hire is he said he brought in Brennan to have some stability within the program and not just have Sac State be a step up school for all these athletes and coaches, where it's just like you come here, you do well, and then you move to the FBS. He wanted Sac State to be the place that people want to come to. And once again, we're back in this position of it's a place where everyone uses to catapult their career, which is not a bad thing, but like, make sure your messaging is on brand with that, right? I'm fine with Sac State being a shooting off point for a lot of these places, for Brennan, for Camp Scadaboo, for whoever you want to call, right? But make sure that that's your messaging. If not, then if you want it to be a stability program that everyone comes to and wants to come to, then hire the right coach to do so. So I think that's kind of where I'm at with the messaging. That's where I'm at with the head coaching search. I think they need to bring in a guy that knows Sacramento. I think that's, for me, a key in this. No Sacramento, nor Cal, because there's a ton of great high school football talent here that is going unrecruited that you could bring into a Sac State program and help develop and turn into really good college football here in NorCal.
MP Sac in the chat says, I heard Sharon Moore is available. I'd fall out and die. Stay away from the Hornets.
Well, you've got influence there, so why don't we tell our friends Mark Orr and Dr. Wood, let's keep people at bay. With the Hornets.
I'm gonna be hired by Sac State. Man, the culture show with no Casey and Jerome Moore
live at Sky River Casino.
Hey, D-Lo,
you coming to hang out? Nah, man.
Okay.
Nah, man.
This clip would be in the intro every single week. All right.
Gonna have to keep Stephen Brown away from his wife too.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, see, that'd be the first event Stephen Brown show up to. Was this year a failure?
Yeah. Yes and no. I think it was a failure in terms of not getting to where the expectations were, because I think the expectations were put way too high at the beginning of the season. But it wasn't a failure because it put Sacramento State on the map nationally. From Dr. Luke Wood's comments with the panda, the Panda Bowl, like, those were planned, and I think that was a smart strategic, you know, eye maker type of move. And you know, they brought in some really top recruits that people took a second look at Sacramento State. So I think exposure wise, it was great for the program and great for the school. But program wise, I don't think the program's in a great spot right now. They have lost their top FCS class. I think five guys have already decommitted, including their top recruit. Last night, their top wide receiver, Ernest Campbell, has entered the transfer portal. Today, their defensive line that led with sacks left. Offensive linemen's leaving. Like, the program is not going to be in a great spot after this year. So that's where it's a negative and a positive.
Scott Perry going to have to come in and fix the team.
No. Who's the Zach LaVine of Sac State football?
Oh, not touching. Jake, we're going to let you go. I'm not touching that.
Hey, guys, real quick, just a reminder, bring out all your Hanukkah gear for next week. First night of Hanukkah next Monday. All right. I'm holding Katie responsible for that. I'll text her.
Can you tell me what is Hanukkah gear? What, I'm like, how is that Brendan laughing in the background?
Yes.
What is Hanukkah gear? What's up, B?
What up, B?
What is Hanukkah gear? Do we got dreidels on tap?
Yes.
We've got the menorah.
Yes.
Candles, lighters.
Yes.
Everything. Ready to roll.
Okay. So I know there's okay. It's not called a candle, but it's the. I'm not trying to be I don't know
I'm
the name of it.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay, that. Yeah. We will have one of those out for you next Wednesday.
Thank you. I appreciate all that. Right. If we need to order on Amazon, I can get it shipped directly to the D'Lo and Casey Studios.
I'm confident you could.
What to say, so I ain't saying nothing.
Jake, we appreciate you, buddy.
I don't want no problems.
Always.
Go get some latkes, okay?
I don't want no problems.
Potato pancakes. Have fun.
I'm with Casey now. I'm not saying.
I don't want no problems. I love everybody. Yeah. I don't want no problems.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Jake. Bye, thanks, Brandon.
Oh, that's man. Terrific.
All right. Well, the Hanukkah gear is out next week for Jake.
Shout out my man, Jake Gayden.
Always.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.